Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is the Gathering Edition, the discussion show. I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould, and I'm Bob Ginsburg, and I'm here with Fran Ginsburg. And hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Bob.
And tonight's topic is, how can we tell the difference or the differences among our own creative thoughts, psychic information, and communication from spirit? In other words, our thoughts are our own. And we're going to get into that from a couple of different angles. Tonight's sponsor is L&R Productions. You can find them on the web at www.lnrproductions.com. And the phone number here for you to reach us is 1-888-627-6008. And now it says on my notes here that Fran is going to do some announcements.
Oh, I am, I? Okay. Well, the first thing that I want to bring everybody's attention to is our Holiday of the Earth Raffle 2012, where you can win a one-hour phone medium reading. There are five of them that you can actually win all five if you're in there at least five times. But one entry is only $5, and the mediums who will be offering those readings are Bobby Allison, Laura Lynn Jackson, Tracy Bray, Dave Campbell, and Angelina Diana. It's $5 a chance, 5 chances for $20, 15 chances for $50, 35 chances for $100, and 100 chances for $200. The
wow.
Money goes to support our programming. And just to let you know, the winners are selected by a computer program that the foundation has. And it's good to enter several times, like at the beginning where you'll have lower numbers, and then again enter at the middle where you'll have some center numbers, and again at the end where you have...
How many chances do I get for $1 million?
I'll calculate that and get back to you. But anyway, this supports the programming at Forever Family Foundation, so you want to be in it, and you can walk away with a wonderful reading with a certified medium through the Forever Family Foundation. We also have to remind you that you can support the foundation through applying for the Visa credit card through our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For every card that's taken out, Visa donates $50 to us, and every time you use it, a portion of your spending is donated back to us. If you shop on the line, go to Amazon.com using the links on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support the work of the foundation. If you don't see what you want on Amazon.com, visit iGive.com, named Forever Family Foundation, as the charity of your choice. And every time you shop at iGive.com, a portion of your spending comes back to support the work of the foundation. So when you shop, show us that you care. And if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org by email or call the office at 631-425-7707. And I think that's it for tonight.
Well, thank you for that.
You are welcome.
And tonight's topic, as I mentioned, is where do thoughts come from? Let me start off by asking Melissa, because I love to put her right on the spot. If we went out to Times Square in New York and we just stopped people on the street and we said to them, where do thoughts come from, what do you think the majority of the people are going to say?
Wow, Times Square.
Don't don't look Times Square. It has nothing to do with it. It was, I was just telling
you. I'm like, diversion. The old Times Square or the current Times Square? The cleaned up Times Square?
Okay, you went out in the street in any city in the world.
Well, I would think they might first say their imagination, their thoughts. That would be the creative thoughts.
I would think that people would say that thoughts come from your brain.
Straight to the source.
So, you know, as opposed to... is that what you were going to say, Fran?
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say, because that's what I knew you were pushing for.
Right.
Is that the average person thinks that, oh, I'm a great intellect and I have this fabulous brain, so ask me a question and my response is coming from me. It's the ego talking.
Right.
But we all know that in those quieter moments, we get creative thoughts that come into our head, and it's questionable as to whether it came from our brain or if it came from a higher source or our inner selves.
Yeah, and it's pretty difficult because nobody's been able to define what consciousness itself is, so how can we tell, you know, where thoughts come from? But, I mean, Tom, growing up, I mean, you're a different perspective now, but, you know, growing up and going through school, I mean, did you ever give any thought that there are other, might be other sources for your thoughts than the brain?
No, probably not.
Yeah.
I probably felt that I was
like
my own person, and everything that happened inside of me was just that. Like, you know, that's part of the shell that was me. And, you know, I had thoughts of spirituality and other worlds and other dimensions and that sort of thing, but I really not until recently thought that it included what's coming up through me.
Mm. And, you know, then we get into, many people will readily say that they believe in intuition, and they believe in telepathy, and they believe in many of these things. But they, even though if you believe in telepathy, you know, where you're, you know, for lack of a better term, you're reading somebody else's mind, that would indicate that all thoughts are not contained, you know, in the brain. And yet, people would say, no, it has to be my idea, you know, I thought of it. I often think that maybe has to do with ego. You know, they come up with an idea, they don't want to give anybody else any credit, right? I mean, but I think that, you know, if telepathy and remote viewing and intuition are all very real and science is telling us that it is, then we have to recognize that we can get thoughts from other people. You know, and if we can get thoughts from other people, then we can get thoughts from people that don't have bodies as well. So, you know, we can take that, you know, one step further. But I guess a good question to ask is that has anybody ever had a situation where you thought of something, then you didn't act upon it, you came up with an idea, you didn't act upon it, and then lo and behold, you see somebody else acting upon that same idea? You know, and is it possible? Of course it's possible that somebody else just happened to think of this unique idea, but on the other hand, you know, if there's this information field and people can communicate with one another, maybe we picked it up telepathically, you know.
Or there's the argument that the universe wanted it to happen, and if you weren't going to act upon it, the idea got sent to somebody else who was going to act upon it.
That's possible. So the information could come from somebody living, or, you know, it could be from your guide or a spirit entity that was, you said, wanted something to happen. So, I mean, how can we ever, you know, truly differentiate, you know, when it comes to thought? You know, it's a very difficult question. I mean, mediums, what do they tell us when we talk to them? We always ask them when they're on the show, how do you tell the difference between psychic information and spiritual information? And the consensus seems to be that some mediums say that they don't see any difference at all, which to me It's hard for me to comprehend that. But the most of the mediums say that there's a different feel to the information. And if there's a different feel to the information, then maybe we all need to learn how, you know, the various information comes through so we can differentiate. I mean, have you ever experienced a different feel for information more?
Well, are we talking about the clairs, the clairsentient, the clairvoyant? Because I think that's how they describe it, that they know it's a feeling which or a knowing. The clear seeing, I think, would be the knowing. So some of our mediums probably are listening. No.
Well, then they can call in and correct us.
But I think that's the description. When they're quick to identify the source, they know it's not coming from picking up your energy. They're getting it from
the
spirit.
And the mediums also sometimes tell us that they have... They still question, even the accomplished medium sometimes, whether or not the information is being generated from themselves as opposed to spirit. You know, and if they can't tell the difference, boy, it's a pretty tough call.
Well, then, I just want to pose something to you then, talking about all of this thought and we have guides for guidance. In the physical, brainy world, we pay people to make decisions for us. I don't know how to invest my money, so I go to an investment banker and I turn over my life savings to him, and he's supposed to somehow know the better place to put it, and so therefore I will maximize the money that I make on it. But you'll go to a spiritual advisor to make decisions about your life. Why wouldn't you want somebody who's attuned in a spiritual way to make the decisions about investing your money?
Hmm. Your dad could have helped us with that.
Yeah, somehow I think that, you know, when they come out of Wharton School of Business, that they don't want to hang up a shingle that says you're spiritual.
They're not capable of it. They're not capable of it because the whole education system, from kindergarten all the way through to whatever, With the exception of the I can't remember the name of the spiritual oriented schools, they teach us from brain to brain to brain. I mean, everything that goes on academically in the room is teaching you to use your brain. It's not teaching you to go within for guidance and answers.
You know, on that theme, you have a point. Do you remember, like, Tom and Wissa seeing at the every year, at the end of the year, the financial shows, they show the expert stock pickers, and then they show somebody that used their intuition and picked it up, or they threw darts at a dartboard, you know, and they sometimes they outperform, you know, the experts. So maybe there is something to that. Let's go to our break, and we come back. We have a lot more to talk about thoughts and psychic information. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Suzanne Goode, an award-winning certified professional and master photographer, is the owner of Goode Photography, a studio located in Long Island, New York for 25 years. She has devoted herself to creating timeless portraits and virtual paintings that capture the essence of a person in one single moment, forever lasting. She can use your photograph of a loved one or pet and transform it into a watercolor or canvas painting. You can view her work and email on her website, www.goodphotography.com.
Mm-hmm. When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about thoughts and the creative thoughts, psychic information, and communication from spirit. Before we get back to our regular conversation, let's take a call.
We have Janet on line 3.
Janet?
Hello.
Is this Janet Mayer?
Yes, it is.
Hey,
hi, Janet.
I thought I would put my 2 cents in.
All right. Is that all you have, two cents?
That's all I have. I'm sorry, I'm getting a double. I have an echo coming through, so I'm hearing everything twice.
Okay. Oh. For those that don't know, this Janet Mayer is a medium. She's a certified medium with the foundation, and she's a research medium. And she is the author of Spirits, They Are Present. So with that, what's your 2 cents, kiddo?
Well, I liked what you were saying so far. The creative thoughts, I thought that was great when you were talking about, you know, you were trying to get the word brain to come out. And I thought, well, that's what people call brainstorming. But I also agree with what Tom said that, you know, it is coming from within. I think creative thoughts come from within. You know, it's part of your process of who you are and the thinking of the self. And I thought that was really great. But I also was thinking with the psychic, you know, being psychic and mediumship, there is a difference, at least for me. And I know everyone has their own take on it. But there is more of a feeling as a medium. I feel, you know, it's when you, you know, haven't seen somebody for a long time, and you're like, oh, hi, and you give them a hug, and you get that feeling. It feels deeper, you know, and when you're a psychic, it's kind of like thinking, okay, well, Bob, you know, you're wearing, you know, gray sweatpants today or something like that. It's not so emotional.
Wait a second, I am wearing gray sweatpants.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay, well, there's the difference. I don't really care that you're wearing gray sweatpants. But if I gave Fran a hug, then I'd be like, hi, Fran, how you doing? Okay, so anyway. But, yeah. You know, that's just to me. That's how I feel.
Well, so let me ask you this from your perspective, you know, as a medium. If spirit entities can imprint thoughts to those of us in the physical, do you think that they want us to realize that the information was from them? Or perhaps do they want us to believe it was from our own creativity? That's a tough question.
You know, I don't really know. I mean, it could go both ways. They could really not even care as long as the information comes through and somebody gets it and they can move forward with it to cause good, you know, in the world. So in that sense, that could be a possible. I mean, sometimes I think they do want you to know that they came through. If it's important, maybe if it's, you know, from a loved one or something like that, I could see where, you know, you would say, oh, you know, I really want to hear from my mom. And when you get something and you feel it's from her. But if it's more of a creative thought, I think it's, in a way, like Fran said, I really feel it's out there. And I feel, you know, a lot of people, you know, how many times have you heard something, somebody discovers something, you know, all around the world they're discovering the same thing. You know, so I feel like it is in the universe, and it is a creative thought, and you can tap into it. And I really believe that everyone can tap into their own, you know, inner, you know, something within them or within, you know, the world around them. So there's so much, and to me, it all boils down to meditating. If you learn to focus and you learn to meditate in whatever form is best for you, you know, if you want to sit like a pretzel, fine. If you want to listen to music, fine. If you want quiet, you know, peace and quiet, fine. However you can tap into it personally to get that connection, then it brings it to you. And maybe for Melissa, it will be one way. You know, for Tom, maybe because he's a music nut, he'll you know, focus, you know, better through music. But, you know, each person hits it in their own, you know, way.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. This question is, I guess, especially pertinent with you because of your individual situation, and we know about the languages that you bring through. But do you think that some people are scared, you know, at the possibility that their thoughts might not be their own? Do you think that element affects people in some way?
I mean,
yeah, it may be comforting.
I'm sorry, go on. Was Fran saying something?
No. Go ahead.
I think it does affect people, and in what you're saying and what you're thinking, and because, you know, how many times, especially if somebody has ever done something like automatic writing. Mm-hmm. And that energy comes through them, and they know that's not them, but then they think, oh, maybe it's something else. You know, it could be beside them. Or like with me with the language, when it first came through, the interesting thing was that was one thing I was never, ever afraid of. When I was little, I was afraid of the dark. You know, I'd walk in a room, and I'd be turning on every light in the house. But with the language, when it came through, I wasn't afraid of it because it was something bigger than me, and I knew it. It was bigger. And I think if you understand that, there's something out there that's trying to help, you know, each individual person. And if you understand it doesn't have to be, I'm not saying it's just bigger than you, but it's, you know, something beside you. I think if you take that on and say, okay, I can work with it and I can make something of this, this is going to be a part of who I am, then you can discover all kinds of new things. There's all kinds of possibilities out there.
That makes sense to me.
I think so.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's a good explanation.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. And,
sure, I'll let you go. You guys have a great evening.
Why don't you just give your website before we sign off? I know you didn't call in for that.
Oh, no, I didn't. I just wanted to give my 2 cents. But it's www.janetmayer.net. And thank you guys. Have
thanks.
A great evening.
Thanks,
okay,
Janet.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And I'll chime in that I've just finished reading Janet's book, and it's very entertaining, and I recommend it. Spirits, they mm-hmm. are present.
I'm saving reading it until we interview Janet on Signs of Life. So, you know, but then I will read it before then.
Tom has passed it on to me, so I'll be able to share when you're ready to share.
Okay, good. You know, I guess we should add that on this topic, it would be irresponsible not to mention that there are people that have, you know, mental illnesses, you know, such as schizophrenia, and they have chemical imbalances, and they do hear voices that are not from spirit or from others, and those people need you know, medical attention, and so every case is different. We're not suggesting that everybody that you know hears a voice, although it seems to many people do hear voices of spirit. It's not always the case.
Well, you've made me wonder, Bob. I've often thought about this when I've heard about people who say they hear voices, and who's to say that it's not coming from another source? And is it because they're often directing them to do bad things, but one could say maybe it's an evil spirit at work?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a plausible explanation, I've read it in a lot of books, so they think that half of the cases are misdiagnosed, you know, that it can be, you know, they use the terms like evil spirit or earthbound spirit or somebody that is looking to wreak a little havoc, you know, in the physical world. So I guess that is possible, but, you know, I mean, we're on that subject. Have you ever heard, I've heard not, you know, just little smatterings of words, you know, in my life, you know, like, you know, look up, did you say something? Did somebody say something? Has anybody else? I know you.
All the time.
You do all
the time.
Yeah. But you hear a lot of words, telepathically, I guess I am too, right?
Yeah.
You don't hear there's nobody in the room that's saying it, but yet it sounds like somebody's in the room.
There's nobody we could see in the room that's saying it.
Right.
Well, we do hear people tell these stories. We've had some of our members tell us stories where, you know, they heard a voice, don't get in the car, or, you know, turn right here. And often they listen. Hopefully they avert accidents.
Right. During last week's show, the week before, and the Dr. John Turner called in, you know, and he was telling us about his experiences when he went to see John of God. And during, after the proceedings, he heard a voice in his head.
Call out his name.
Call out his name. Said, you know, John Turner, you know, his name, you know. And I know that, Dr. Turner's investigating and intrigued by it and curious, you know, why did he hear his name? Was it for a specific purpose? And I think that maybe a lot of people won't admit to it, but I think we've all had little episodes where we've heard a voice and we thought it was somebody and it wasn't, and we just dismiss it. And anything come to mind with you, Tom, or anything like that?
That does, you know, when you say calling a name, I mean, I've certainly walked down the hallway and thought that somebody was calling to me, and I turn around and nobody there, or nobody who is there is looking at me, and I guess that would qualify for that. I don't really get much in the way of hearing other voices. I certainly have thoughts in my head that could be planted there, or somebody communicating that way I thought they were my own thoughts that could have been somebody else, but I rarely hear a different voice.
Well, that's, you know, it's interesting, and I'm sure it comes into play. I mean, you're a musician, you know, you're a creative guy. You write songs, so, you know, we really wouldn't have any reason to believe that it's not coming from your own creativity, you know, your own generated thoughts.
Well,
but then again, perhaps sometimes we go back to that thing with a different feel. You ever writing a song and somehow it just has a different feel to it? Like, you, why did I think of that? I shouldn't.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, when you step back a step, when you say we don't know if it's coming from my own creativity or not, and I can tell you quite assuredly it's not coming from my own creativity, because I have often looked at songs that I've written years later and thinking, I don't know how I wrote that. And, you know, if you sat me down in a room and said, go ahead, write that a song similar again, maybe I couldn't.
Right.
You know, it's not something, it's certainly because, and what gives me that feeling and where I know the truth of it, and I can say 100%, because often I will write a song and it's about 85% finished, and for the life of me, I can't finish the song. And I'll sit down and say, okay, now I'm the songwriter, I gotta bang out the rest of this song. And I have songs that are 20, 30 years old that still are missing a line or two. And if it were coming from me, I feel, if I were a painter, I'd mix up the paints and I'd fill in the spaces.
Right.
But I don't think that it is necessarily coming from me.
And of course, you know, then the possibilities are endless. You know, and you might think of it as, you know, where is it coming from? I mean, is it coming from past musicians that have an interest in what you're doing, from the spirit world? Is it coming from other musicians that are living, and you're picking up some of their thoughts or creativity? It's you know, we can't tell, but I guess it all comes down to, it's very personal, and it comes out to that feel. I mean, only you can form your own opinion on it.
And Janet touched on it in her phone call to us that when I want to write a song, it's not about, I don't sit down with a piece of paper and just start writing. I more sit down with a guitar and then just strum something, like a couple of chords. I'll just go around and around on the chord. And as Janet pointed out, that's my own sort of meditation, that I'm getting out of my own head. And whereas people meditate, they listen to their breathing. And okay, if you have a thought coming into your head, stop. Just concentrate on the breathing. Listen to the breath come in, listen to the breath come out. And as you concentrate on the breath, you're not thinking about anything else, and that's when you're allowing the creative force, the energy that's within you, to flow through you freely. And I think that's what happens when I play the guitar and do a couple of chords, and I just get into a rhythm that's my own kind of mantra. And after doing that, then the songs come out.
Mm.
And when we were during break, I was mentioning a couple of things that I remember when I was in college. I took a Russian literature course, and one of the papers I wrote was about how the Russian author Nikolai Gogol and the American author Edgar Allan Poe had a lot of very similar themes and even subject matter in their writing. And yet they were, one's in Russia, one's in America, and, you know, the communication certainly wasn't what it was. And, you know, how do these people simultaneously write similar stories? And I did a paper on that, and I also remember distinctly when the Rolling Stones released, I think it was their Steel Wheels album, their first single off the album was a song called Mixed Emotions. And the very week that came out, Paul McCartney released a song. I don't remember which one it was at this moment, but and in it he had the lyric Mixed Emotions. And for the two of them to come out in the same week, obviously, you know, they weren't they're not that close pals to have shared any of that, but yet it came out at the same time.
Yeah, I think that there are definitely information fields. And along that same vein, I mean, what about all these ancient cave carvings and paintings and depictions and hieroglyphics that were very, very similar in vastly different parts of the world with no means of communication, you know? So, people pick up waves of information, whether it's from this dimension or not, who knows? But, what if we did an experiment? You know, you want to do a telepathy experiment. So we took 25 people, we put them in a room that was divided. And then we instructed all 25 people to think of something like, that you would recognize, like a Statue of Liberty. And then we brought in you as the subject, and we just asked you to quiet your mind and say anything that pops through, and then all of a sudden what pops through is a Statue of Liberty. Now, you would swear that was your own creative thought, right? Because you thought of it. What else could it be? You know, you don't know why you're thinking of it, but you're thinking of it. But yet, it clearly is not your own creative thought. Those 25 people sent you that message. So that happens every day. I mean, we're talking 25 people. What about cities and nations and the world when they're thinking of something? What do we talk about that global consciousness project where, you know, things, people are attuned before events happen, and then they do. There's some thing that we can see that's not part of our regular vernacular that goes on, it's really fascinating, you know. But those are, there are plenty of examples where we could say that it can't be creative thought, right? If you're doing remote viewing, and somebody gives you the coordinates, a latitude and a longitude, and you make an accurate drawing of what's on that site, that's not creative thought. You know, you're picking that up, you know, from somewhere. And what about, you know, if somebody has a, you know, a veridical near-death experience and they leave their body and they're outside their body and they go to another area, let's say in the hospital, and they can tell you what went on there, that's not creative thought. I mean, you know, that's evidential, you know. So yeah, we can come up with a lot of examples just from the stuff that, you know, that we know that say that certainly our minds are not limited by our physical brains. You got any thoughts on that?
I'm trying to follow you because I think you're going into different directions, or maybe 10 different directions, because thought is thought is thought is thought is thought, and we're trying to decide if the thought comes from a brain or if the thought comes from some other source and is sent to us or to our inner selves, or any other possibility, or all of those possibilities.
Right, and I think it's all of the above. I mean,
but
I think the brain,
telepathy,
yeah,
and remote viewing and all these out-of-body experiences, and they're all different things, and I don't think you can put them all into one nice little package. I think thought is something that needs exploring on its own, and all of these other phenomena or experiences are also have their own category to go with, and also need exploring on their own. And
I like that. And on that same line, I think that in all of what we've been talking about and are studying, I think the more you remove the body, the mind, the brain, you know, all of that, and get to, as we say in quantum physics, the space in between the material, take the material out of it entirely, and that's where your key is coming from, and understanding will come from there.
For all we know, the brain could be a receiver, but thought could be generated from our hearts. You know, we don't really know. I think that when we talk about gut feelings, you know, like people have, it's a common thing, oh, I had a gut feeling, you know, that could be like, for instance, a combination of all different things. You know, who knows what that means. So.
He does know.
Yeah, let's take our second break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about thoughts and psychic communication and a bunch of other stuff. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And we're talking about thoughts. Are thoughts our own? It's interesting if we study children, you know, it always comes back to kids and so give us a lot of answers because, frankly, they can't tell the difference where their thoughts come from. They integrate all this stuff, and they don't care. It's just,
Right, and then we go and send them to public school and mess them up.
Yeah.
Well, I like when I have the opportunity to work with young children, how their thoughts are not, their thoughts and then what they say is not filtered at all. So whatever they think comes right out. And I wonder when that filter develops. I don't know that developmentally.
Don't we create that in them?
We probably do.
Probably.
And if we never did that,
then we'd be learning from them.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Isn't it true? Also, the those filters come down when you get old too. You know.
Oh, that's for sure.
I'm adding about it, right. So it's I don't know whether that has to do with. Impatience or just not caring anymore.
Yeah.
Proximity to the veil.
Yeah. Well, of course, then we're talking about a whole other area when they are very close to death and then all sorts of things happen.
Let's not say close to death, close to the veil, because that's where the children are.
Right.
So, and they do call old age second childhood. I wonder why.
Mm. Oh, now we're off on a different topic, because that's such an interesting thought. You know, if we think of linear time and we've got the veil at the end of what
that's
we
the
call
thing.
Life.
Don't think linear. I mean,
right,
here we are in 2012. The Mayans, their calendar is cyclical. That's why you'll see the discs when you see the Mayan calendar. It's a cycle, it's not linear like our calendar is linear.
Yeah, as you were talking, Melissa, and we were talking to the older, people, and I've been in situations with somebody that's an older adult, has said something that may be insulting, and then somebody would lean over and say, oh, don't mind her, her thoughts are not her own, that's what we're talking about, are her thoughts her own, or are they not, you raised an interesting point earlier about on this subject. I guess, and a lot of people think about it, is evil thoughts. When you think of things that are not for the greater good, then it becomes especially important to differentiate where the thoughts are coming from. In your work with children, Melissa, do you ever come upon that, or a lot of your children aren't communicating? But...
Well, I have a range of students with varying levels of ability, but I never have ever witnessed anything that I would perceive as evil.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the children I work with are aggressive, but I think that's, in their case, it's more out of frustration from not having language. Mm-hmm. But thinking about the evil, I was struck by, I watched this popular reality show on television last season, and this one character on the show, not a character, he was being himself, but he spoke to the camera and kept saying how he was fighting against this evil in him that was, you know, it was ruling his life, and it was a real struggle for him to make the right choices. And that was a surprise to me, but I wonder how many people feel that way.
Mm.
Go through life sort of struggling to do the right thing. I don't know.
Well, if we let's go to our soul of who we were before we chose this incarnation. And theoretically, what we're supposed to understand is that when we come into the physical world, it's to improve our enlightenment. So if you are of a lesser enlightened character, maybe your soul had an evil or a dark side to it, and now you're coming to become more enlightened and to grow, you have that challenge. Because you only know from the darkness, you only know from evil, and now your challenge in the physical world is to be able to make those choices so that you do become a more enlightened person.
Well, this individual on this program, I think he was under 20 years old, so maybe he was still battling that previous life energy of evil. We could speculate.
Well, I was sharing with you a little bit before we went on air. I haven't read the book yet, but I came across a medical doctor that's practices in the United Kingdom, and I don't know the particular circumstances how it started, but he became aware of mediumship skills and began communicating with spirit, and even uses it in his medical practice. And you know, and I was corresponding with him a little bit, talking about coming on the show. And one of the things that he said was that he's leaning towards the survival hypothesis, even though he entertains other possibilities. And it made me think that it's a little bit surprising, because you would think that a medium, if you're speaking to a spirit entity, and if you're calling, you know, if you're saying you have mediumistic abilities, then you have to communicate with spirit, that even they, or at least this particular person, is not totally convinced. So he is still open to the possibility that these communications that he's receiving could be from a living person, you know, or possibly generated from his own, you know, creative thought. So then I was, boy, that's really the little, that real show just shows you how difficult the problem is if a medium can't.
Wait, but then how can you call yourself a medium? A medium, the
well,
assumption is that you're talking to the dead.
Yeah, he has mediumship abilities, you know, but.
So either you're talking to the dead or you're not talking to the dead.
But what if there's a you know, so there is this field of information, whether you call it the Akashic field or whatever, and he's pulling out all of this information from this field, which is sort of an imprint that somebody left, you know, when they were living.
Okay, maybe so it's a different talent than a medium does, that he can go in and, just like the savants, you could give them an intense mathematical equation and they'll solve it faster than you can wink your eyes. Where are they taking that piece of information from? You and I have to sit there and with a piece of paper and a pencil to figure that, or a calculator to get that answer. And this savant has this answer faster than you can wink. So where did that come from?
Yeah.
It's the same kind of a thing. So if he's taking his information, if his feeling is, because you've just said it a little while ago, the mediums have a sense of where their information is coming from. They could tell if it's psychic and being picked up from energy, and they could tell if it's from a discarnate entity. Obviously, he can't tell, or he's not willing to admit where it's coming from. So he's open to the possibility of where it's coming from. But if you want to call yourself a medium, you have to at least admit that you're talking to the dead.
Yeah, well, and I think that he's a person, a man of science. He's a medical doctor. He grew up, you know, in that area of his work that's hard to throw away. And yet he's having these experiences. You know, he's not calling himself a medium, so he has mediumistic ability. So who knows what it is?
We all have mediumistic ability.
Have you ever? I've actually tried this, you know, recently because Janet mentioned earlier this automatic writing, and you know, you just put a pen over a piece of paper and see if you can, you know, what comes out of your thoughts. And I must admit to try. I never thought I would ever try it, but I didn't do it. I just did it while I was at my desk. I wasn't meditating or anything, obviously, so it wasn't going to work. And nothing happened. But is that something that anybody here has ever tried?
Well, I had come up with that suggestion that we all take the hand that we don't typically write with and just see what could come through, if that could be channeling the source. And have you ever tried it in the psychomantium?
I was thinking that too when he was saying
you
that.
You were thinking the same thing I was thinking.
Yeah, where did that thought come
from? Well, I took my mom to Teresa Caputo to be read, and in the middle of the reading, she turned to me and she goes, "Do you ever do
automatic writing.
Automatic writing. And I said, "No, I never did." She goes, "Oh, I think you could do it." But it's like all of these things, it sounds like, oh, that's fun, and yet I don't really have the discipline.
Maybe she was picking up when you write your music. You are automatic.
I guess in a way it is, yeah. Yeah, I picture when somebody says, oh, I have to sit down with a pen and then just write whatever comes to mind. And it just seems to me that, well, whatever comes to mind is what I'm thinking about, so how is that automatic writing?
I have never experienced it. I always thought that automatic writing is coming from someplace else that's taking control of your hand, so your mind is totally out of it. But I think a great experiment from you might be to pull out some of those old songs that are missing, that are incomplete.
Yeah.
And do a little meditation, and maybe put the pen in the left hand. And
maybe we should meditate and just finish this damn song.
Yes.
I mean, 20 years.
We just call the album, "Finished Damn Song."
I think we're all caught up in the various things that we do in our creative efforts, and we don't give a second thought to it. But I mean, I know even. You know, like when I'm writing an article, you know, sometimes, words flow, and sometimes that they don't. And like you, sometimes I'll look back at something, and sometimes I'll say, "Boy, this is a piece of crap," you know.
Sure.
But other than that, but sometimes I'll say, "Well, how did I even think of that? I don't," you know. So, I think whether it's writing or it's music or it's art or public speaking or anything. I mean, we get into these zones, and we just, perhaps we all need to just be open to the possibility that we have assistance in some way, or we're picking up, you know, information from these information fields. Whichever it is, it's pretty interesting, you know. I mean, and it's it goes to show that we're a lot more than our physical bodies.
When you talk about the information field, it made me think before about, you know, that expression, our thoughts create our reality. And when tragedies happen, or I think we most often think about it when, I think it's when we hear about a celebrity death and we go, oh, people die in threes. But maybe it's our thoughts focusing on that tragedy, and all these thoughts are going, oh, what a tragedy, oh, what a tragedy. And then another tragedy occurs.
Hmm.
Do it again. Oh, there's number two. Now, where's number three? Number three's coming.
Yeah.
There's number three.
I know, and a lot of people are troubled by that when they have a thought, and then it happens, and they think they caused it.
Yeah.
It's rough. I think we're winding down here to the end of the show, and I know you have some announcements to make, or not
well,
announcements,
our
but your closing.
Our closing ritual will go there. So we now ask our listeners to please join us in our healing energy circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, Francis Mastracco, Donna Mello, Mark Barron, Eileen LaFada, Joanne Gerber, and Lynn LeClaire. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masuro Emoto on May 9th, 2010. And now it's time to say, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.